through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
Hour number three of Tom, Jake, and Stacy. You are not going to get this kind of Seahawks coverage or analysis anywhere else like you will from Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost. Today we are examining the tight ends on the Seahawks, the guys who are about to hit free agency, and what the Seahawks should be doing at that position. Jacob, take it away.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy's Offseason Profile. A look at the key free agents, potential draft picks, and extension candidates for the Hawks championship run in 2020.
Let's go!
Contract extension profile.
Two names you know and love, Luke Wilson and Jacob Hollister. Luke Wilson obviously being a huge fan favorite here in Seattle at 6'5", 256 pounds, the original fifth round pick in the 2013 draft. His production here in Seattle has not been marquee, but his presence has been. And this group for Luke Wilson, I think, was a nice addition as you looked at this tight end position that got injury plagued early on. And he added to the team in week four, and he made a contribution in that game here in cut number three.
With Disley and Procise in the backfield, Russell takes a shotgun snap, play fake. He's going to roll right. He's going to look. He's going to try to dump the ball downfield. The ball is caught. A flag is down. The catch is made. Luke Wilson inside the 40, diving to the turf. He was held, interfered with. Listen to Luke. We're at State Farm Stadium, not at CenturyLink Field. They love Luke.
They love Luke. They love this dynamic personality, a guy who fits your locker room and the way that you want it to be done in the clubhouse. He is a positive influence in the locker room, knows your system, and Pete Carroll speaking to the excitement that they were able to get Luke Wilson back in 2019 in cut number four.
Yeah, it was great. Luke, just when he showed up the night, it must have been like Tuesday night or something like that when he got here, the coaches came out of the cubby holes from everywhere, just to greet him, you know, and it was an explosion of energy and welcoming and all that, because everybody loves Luke, because he's Luke, and he's an incredible spirit, he's a terrific football player, he may come across crazy to you, to me, he's just like the epitome of spirit and love of the game and a fantastic teammate.
Now, you talk about that spirit, what did that translate onto the field for you? You had 8 games, 7 starts. Now, in terms of production, it was 8 receptions for 79 yards. Not exactly game-breaking or game-changing. But what he was brought in to do was to be a blocking tight end, a guy that knows the system overall, and also to be a foundational piece for guys to have a calming presence. And I think Luke Wilson fit that. Now, at his last contract, a one-year, around $800,000 contract, it's not so expensive to keep a guy like Luke Wilson around who can contribute in a couple different ways. I think Luke Wilson is an interesting guy to throw out there in terms of, does he stay on this roster because of the leadership, because of the presence, and also traditionally you keep 4 tight ends the Seahawks have on this roster. When it's all said and done, I have a hard time thinking that they're going to bring Luke Wilson back. Now, turning the page over to Jacob Hollister, at 6'4", 245 pounds, at age 26, this guy actually did contribute on the field, and he came up with some big, big moments, none bigger than in cut number one.
Russ takes the shotgun snap, looks, throws inside, ball is caught, and then the end zone, Seahawks win, touchdown, Seahawks! Jacob Hollister, his second score, and the Seahawks win! In dramatic fashion, in overtime, here at CenturyLink Field.
Undrafted rookie out of Wyoming, originally signs with the Patriots in the offseason. The Seahawks acquire him via trade, and in relation to a 7th-round pick is what they exchanged for Jacob Hollister. Jacob Hollister, to me, came through on every single level. This was my guy in the offseason. This is a guy that I thought could contribute. He only cost them around $700,000. They are going to be in a position where he is an RFA, a restricted free agent. We can get into that here in a moment. But in terms of his production, 11 games, 41 receptions, 350 yards, 3 touchdowns. And to me, more importantly, he gained a ton of confidence of everyone in that building. Here's Pete Carroll talking about that.
total. Really, he has done a great job. He's been the catcher. He's got the speed and the quickness. You could see him just accelerate to get open on the little play pass we threw to him the other night, last night. But he's blocking well, too. He's giving us everything he's got. And he's a good special teams kid. I mean, he's a great pickup. It was a great job of figuring him out. When you didn't have a lot of film to really, you know, to evaluate him on, that was a great job by John. He's doing fantastic. And he's making himself a real spot on this team.
With Jacob Hollister, I would say he's a fantastic pass catcher. He's got tremendous chemistry and trust from Russell Wilson. And I think he allows you to be multiple. I see Jacob Hollister as a guy who could be like Kyle Juszczyk from the 49ers, like a Chris Cooley, a throwback from the Washington Redskins, if used properly. He's not the greatest run blocker, but that's not why you have him in the building. You have him to be a dynamic pass-catching guy for you on first, second, and third down. And for that reason, I think Jacob Hollister should remain a Seattle Seahawk.
I was going to say, okay, let me just add some context to the restricted free agent, just so people know. There's still a decision that has to be made. If the Seahawks do not tender Jacob Hollister, he'll become an unrestricted free agent. He can sign with any other team. Here's the projected restricted free agent tender cost, according to Over the Cap. So if they do a first-round tender, it's $4.6 million. Second round is $3.2 million. Original round is $2.1 million. Obviously, he's an undrafted rookie free agent originally in 2017. So it would still be that $2.1 million cost now. They maintain the right to have, it's called the right of first refusal. So they can match another offer from a team. Or if another team has an offer for Jacob Hollister and his agent and they negotiate that deal, the Seahawks could also be entitled to a draft pick. So like a second round draft pick in exchange for letting Hollister walk. So either way, they're going to need to make a decision. They either don't do anything and let him become an unrestricted free agent, or they give him likely a second or original round tender.
Do you guys think that anybody's really going to be after Jacob Hollister if they let him walk?
I think it's certainly
season?
A possibility. Like
really?
Jake said, he had big contributions on this team, I think unexpectedly, because obviously Will Dissly was supposed to be your starter. You know, you maybe thought maybe you'd get more from Ed Dixon in his second year with Seattle, but Hollister ended up being a pretty decent pass catching tight end.
I think that actually there, I don't think the market would be massive or that Jacob Hollister is going to get some massive payday, but I think a lot of teams would be interested in him for that reason. He showed that he can be a very good pass-catching tight end.
Jake, I agree.
And use the right way in a certain system and with a certain offensive coordinator, I think he can be a very interesting piece in an offense to make them that much more explosive.
I think he's the type of player that every single team could use, but they just don't know it.
But you're saying, what's the market?
No, yeah, they just don't know it yet.
Yeah,
because he's played up here and he's, you know, he became their starting tight end because of an injury, but nobody really knows about him.
He's a great number two. He's a great number three from the standpoint of, like, let's say you put him with Sean Payton and some of those offensive coordinators, they will find unique roles and ways to get him the football. And I think that that's what he can provide here in Seattle. That's what I was hoping he would be. And I wasn't obviously anticipating the injury to Will Dissly, but because of that, he got forced into a role that he doesn't normally play, and people want to knock him as for his run blocking. To me, I thought he did an adequate job for his size and his strength. He at least gave everything he had in every play. It didn't result in the greatest matchups at times, but he was not a horrendous run blocker. He just isn't.
He's not the biggest guy.
He's not the guy you want putting his hand in the ground and being your, you know, Will Dissly, George Fant type of role and asking to be a road grader in the run game. That's just not him.
And something for fans to keep in mind with just the tight end position in general for Seattle is they have a lot of guys that are either hitting free agency as an unrestricted free agent or that are restricted free agents. So essentially under contract, you've got Ed Dixon, who may be cut as part of a salary cap casualty. And then you've got Will Dissly under contract still as part of his rookie deal. Other than that, you're at risk potentially of losing Luke Wilson and Jacob Hollister. So you could potentially be entering training camp if it were to happen, you know, with some potential moves here with just Will Dissly. So what do you do there? I mean, you're going to have to add someone anyways. Jacob Hollister, like Jake said, has already established some chemistry with Wilson as he played in place of Will Dissly this year. So I think it's a cheap option it would be a smart decision for Seattle to retain him and maybe add another guy.
You mean instead of just keeping George Fant, move him over to tight end and then pay Jermaine Ifedi big money to stay?
Yeah, I wouldn't be on my list of
to-dos. You think Jermaine Ifedi? Well, actually, we'll get to him at some point.
Yes, not my list of to-dos in that situation, but it is interesting now when you talk about Luke Wilson, because if George Fant does not stay and he does not clog up the tight end room, basically, by being that extra tight end in run-blocking situations, traditionally, before they used Fant in that role, they kept four tight ends. Mm. And what would you rather do? Would you rather keep Luke Wilson as that fourth tight end, essentially, or would you rather put that on a young guy who you're trying to experiment with that you know can be a good special teams player?
The young guy always sounds better, especially if he can play special teams.
Of course. But then you also have the idea of, all right, let's say, for example, Greg Olsen and Will Dissly are your one and twos, and you have Hollister at three. Having a guy like Luke Wilson as your four, and if any one of those guys got hurt, to have that insurance policy would be comforting in some aspects. So it is interesting to look at it from that perspective. But overall, I think Luke Wilson, I have a hard time seeing that the Seahawks are going to retain him. And they can wait a while because Luke Wilson has bounced around. He went to Detroit after they let him go in 2017. He was there in 18. He spent some time with the Oakland Raiders in their offseason this year in 2019, then was cut before training camp. So I don't think the market's going to be huge for Luke Wilson, which leaves the Seahawks in a comfortable position to kind of wait and see if they need to retain him.
Do you guys know what Pete Carroll's favorite cereal is?
Wait, do you know? Like, yeah. Is there an answer?
Yeah.
And this isn't a joke. I'm going to say Raisin Bran.
Close.
Raisin Bran.
Life.
I'm going to say
Corn Flakes. One of those three.
Wheaties?
No.
No?
What is it?
It's none of those.
What is it?
What is it?
Total.
What?
That's his favorite cereal brand?
Total.
I'm sorry. Is this someone asking him about his favorite cereal and he says Total, or is this an isolated clip of him saying Total?
Total.
I'll never know, will I?
No.
Okay.
I call fake news on this one.
Yeah, that's definitely fake news.
Total? There's no flavor there.
Well, no, I believe you gotta
cut up some fruit to try and put some flavor. That's
Pete Carroll has a plant-based diet. He's a very healthy guy. I absolutely believe that he would have a cereal that is very boring. Like, what are they called? Grape nut cereal.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Grape nuts are great.
That's really good.
Oh, whatever. Or something else. He's not a Cocoa Puffs guy.
I don't know if I could trust you if you really are a fan of Total. That's Total. Your favorite cereal.
No, it's his favorite cereal.
No, it's not. This is a conspiracy theory.
Total.
It better not be.
I can almost promise you it's Raisin Bran.
No, it's Total. He just said it.
No,
what
it's
more
not.
Do you need?
Wheaties. I want to hear it in the context of a conversation, Tom. Then I will believe you.
Total. Really, he has done a great job.
He probably has unsweetened.
I knew you were lying.
Yeah.
He's got this.
He's talking about Jacob Hollister, how he's the total package.
Oh, man, that scared me.
Someone said, does the VMAC even have Total? I've never seen it there.
Yeah, I haven't seen it there either. It would be hard to sell the players on trying to eat some Total. I mean, it's a bland cereal.
They'll eat anything you put in front of them.
No. Oh,
if you tell them it's good for them.
I don't know. I mean, there's got to be a little flavor to it. I mean, come on.
You put sugar on it, don't you?
Well, then you're defeating the purpose,
also,
right?
Also, it depends who it is. Like, when we talked to Justin Britt and we were like, so do you have to eat anything special? He was like, I'm pretty much whatever I want. Like, if you're a lineman.
Total.
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 Whatever. All right. NFL headlines. Let's go. What's the best cereal in the world, Pete?
Total.
No.
Why?
I didn't know you. I didn't know Tom Wassel was a deceptor. Was one who was deceptive.
You're a lying liar.
I'm the great deceiver.
Well, what's your answer, Tom? What's the best cereal in the world? Don't.
Total.
Don't.
No,
you
Tom.
Dare.
If you press that button one more time.
Don't you do it, Tom. Don't you do it.
I go with whatever Pete Carroll says.
What?
If he's a total guy, I'm a total guy.
I'm a Captain Crunch.
He's not a total
guy.
This is
only Crunch Berries.
Well, not just. I'm saying Captain Crunch Berries.
Oops, all berries.
I mean, not all berries, but just I like those.
I like
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Captain Crunch is good. Peanut Butter Crunch is the best, and Cocoa Puffs. Those are the correct answers.
Honey Nut Cheerios, because they got that little bee flying around.
Do you guys remember when Oreos had a cereal?
They called it Oreos.
Yeah, well, it was good.
I don't remember that.
It was probably awful for you. Yeah, I mean,
most likely.
If you grew up in the 90s, everything you ate had 500 grams of sugar in it. I saw a kid the other day, like a little kid at a restaurant eating a plate of kale. And I thought, what a different world we lived in. I just grew up so different.
The Saints, Taysom Hill. I call him Taysom.
You call, yeah.
Okay. Whatever you want to do, Tom.
Taysom.
Yeah, sure.
Totally.
No, Taysom.
Totally.
Hill says he wants to be a starting quarterback somewhere, and he's willing to leave the Saints if they don't consider him as such.
I'm sorry, but like, I like Taysom Hill a lot. I think that his role that he's played, he is really dynamic and really fun to watch. But you're trying to convince me at 30 years old, you've never been a starting quarterback in the NFL, and you're a franchise quarterback? Get out of here with that.
Well, he could be.
Get out of there with that propaganda. Team. That is
propaganda.
False, my friend. You are trying to fool NFL teams into thinking you're a franchise quarterback with the New Orleans Saints when they had the opportunity to go with you as their starting quarterback when Drew Brees was out. They went with Teddy Bridgewater. You are an awesome tool and utilizing guy that you can do the wildcat, you can be a tight end, a receiver, running back at times. But I don't see Taysom Hill being an every down starting quarterback in this league. No
I mean,
way.
Yeah, I would be slightly curious to see it because he is an amazing athlete. But
I'd love
that
to see
being
it.
Said, you're in a good spot with New Orleans and that Sean Payton got pretty experimental with Hill by the end of the season in that final playoff game.
Yeah, the only reason anybody knows who you are is because of Sean Payton. Now,
that doesn't mean
you owe him the rest of your career.
No, definitely not. But I also would argue that if you're, like I said, if he's not going to be a starting quarterback, and that's what he said, I think that that's the part where you're missing the awesome situation that you're in, is you're with a dynamic play caller. And if you're not going to a situation where they can use you the right way, then your career is not going to be anywhere near what it is today. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a slippery slope for Taysom Hill's career, to be quite honest. I think that he should be all in on being an all-purpose player, and he's a heck of a good one at
this
that.
This is from the text line, but did you see that George Fant retweeted that and said, I feel it?
Yes.
Retweeted what?
With Taysom Hill on his future, I want to play quarterback in this league, and if New Orleans don't view me that way, then I have to leave. George Fant said, I feel it.
That he wants to
be a
quarterback too?
Yeah.
Well, no, I think it could be. Maybe he's being sarcastic. It could also be that he's like, well, no, I'm a tackle. Like, I want to be a lineman, and I'm fine being an extra blocker. But
yeah, he said that he wants to be a starting left tackle in the NFL.
His position is imperceptible.
So that's where George Fant is feeling that kind of comment. It'll be interesting to see what the market is for George Fant, and ultimately, does he move on from the Seahawks, or do the Seahawks find a role for him that he can be happy with? That'll be interesting to see.
Totally.
Yeah, we know.
Tom?
What?
This is your last warning, Tom.
Former Jets defensive end Mark Gastineau says he wants his single-season sack record back from Michael Strahan because Brett Favre took a dive and gave that record to Strahan. First of all...
What?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, but Strahan's career has been over for what? Like, have you just been sitting on this one for a couple years?
Strahan,
and you're like, you know what?
Yeah,
I have something to say.
Basically, if you read the article, that's what he said. First of all, Strahan set this record in 2001.
Yeah, man. What are you doing?
Gastineau, like...
Has he been in, like, some foggy haze for the last 20 years? Where's he been?
That's what the article says. He just kind of had this epiphany one day. He's like, you know what? That sack record belongs to me.
He saw that on some NFL Network Top 10 Countdown.
Yeah, exactly.
Sunday. He's like, wait a minute.
Just refired him up again.
Favre took a dive. But Gastineau doesn't deserve the record.
Well, he kind of does, though.
Because
Favre did take a dive on that.
He did.
Even Strahan kind of mocked it. He mocked his own record.
Yeah, he wasn't happy with it, the way that he got it. But, I mean, come on.
Well, and
he was in the position.
And there are also some sacks where, there was one of, was it of Garoppolo in the Super Bowl? There are a few sacks that you'll see during the season where it's just ruled a sack, but like it wasn't really. Like the ground kind of caught you,
yeah.
The turf monster. And so, I mean, I would guess that anytime a player sets a crazy record like that, that there are a couple that weren't highlight reel worthy plays.
You're saying that like during the course of a year.
During the course of a year, if you rack up 20, like 21, 22 sacks, you're going to have a couple that were not a SportsCenter top five play.
That's true. The counterpoint to Mark Gastineau is to ask him that question.
Right.
Like, well, was every one of your 21 sacks in 84 a clean, game wrecking type sack where you slammed him to the ground?
Right, and the answer is no, right? Like, not every sack is like that. But it is interesting that this is becoming a topic of conversation, or this is a headline.
It's weird.
After 18 years.
This record was set when I was, like, 10. What are you doing?
If he was...
I've waited my whole life. I've lived through two-thirds of my life with you just sitting on this.
Do you guys remember the show? Is it still on? Gastineau Girls?
Oh, yeah. With the ex-wife and daughter
and the
of
daughter.
Mark Gastineau.
Man, they bled him dry. He's got no money left.
Poor
of
guy. That's brutal.
Total.
Yeah.
Tom, we're taking that mouse away.
It's Pete Carroll talking, not me. The NFL has, or NFL.com has given the Seahawks the number 9 biggest Super Bowl window left in the league. Now, what does that mean? That they, of all the Super Bowl windows left among the whole league, they have the 9th best chance?
Yes. That they have a...
To win it?
They have a series of time. They have the 9th best, you know, length of time they're projecting that the Seahawks could potentially win a Super Bowl.
All right.
So whether that's 2 years, 3 years, I'd be interested to see who's number one through five. But it is interesting that the Seahawks, they are in a pretty dang good position to go after a Super Bowl. But like we sit here in 2020, there are so many decisions that they have to make and holes that they have to fill to get themselves in that position. So there's a lot of unknowns. I think they could be even higher than what they are right now if it wasn't for the fact that their defensive line is in such a bad position right now.
Yeah, if they had like a bunch of young guys, I mean, they do have young guys there, but if they had, you know, first, second round talent that people were really excited about, I think they'd definitely be seen as higher for sure.
Yeah.
Right now, what's on tap?
This is What's on Tap with Tom, Jake, and Stacey. So folks, what's on tap?
Talked a lot of baseball today. There's going to be more baseball chatter later on from 7 to 9 tonight on these very airwaves, 710 ESPN Seattle. The Hot Stove League show will feature Ryan Roland Smith tonight. I don't think we've heard from him yet. We'll have to get Ryan on the show pretty soon to talk about these Mariners. That'll be a good show tonight again from 7 to 9 tonight. All right, coming up next, how much of the NFL offseason is just determining how much you can get away with? We'll talk about that next. 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Rost.
Jake, first of all, I'd like to say to you, well done on the Seahawks free agents to be so far.
Awesome job.
Very good profiles.
Thanks, guys.
Also, Stacey, don't you have a couple of pieces up at 710sports.com this week?
I do. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm going to have an article on 710sports.com that recaps all the free agents. Basically, it's all of Jake's notes, plus we'll have video components and just some general details and background. If you guys want to kind of reference it again, if you're kind of tracking along with the Seahawks free agents, you can just click there and you can find all of their information.
Are you going to be on video?
Mm-hmm.
Are you, Jake?
No, not as right now. So in terms of covering the free agent stuff, not right now, but we will have some fun stuff. We're going to do some XFL film, and then also we're going to start interacting with you guys, or I will, in terms of asking questions of what you want to learn, and we'll throw that out there, and we'll put it up on 710sports.com.
You know, I offered to do videos for for 710sports.com.
Yeah. What were you told?
And Sock told me, he goes,
is this real?
Yeah. He goes, nobody wants to see you on video.
Stop! No, he didn't!
He did.
Stop it.
Honest to God.
You're lying.
I'm not lying at all.
That's very nice of you, Tom, but we would have to respectfully decline.
Did he say nobody wants or nobody needs? I forget what it was. He goes, yeah, nobody needs to see you on video. And I was
okay.
Yeah, all right.
Well, bye.
Fine. I'll just write articles then where people can't see me.
Aw.
Yeah, so I mean, doesn't
That's
matter.
Mean.
You know what?
It's not true, Tom.
I don't want to do videos anyway, so it worked out.
Yeah, perfect. I'll do videos.
It's like one of those things that you throw out there, like, "Hey, I'll come help you move this weekend," And you're just really like, you're hoping that they're saying, oh, no, thanks for the offer, but it's cool, man. It's cool. But
you're just trying to be polite.
That's right. And then that one person's like, oh,
thanks. Be here at 3.
Yeah, you're like, oh.
Okay. That's not what I meant to do.
That's right.
Hey, man, I know I told you I could do that, but I got this emergency with my
daughter. See, so it's almost a good thing he said no, because what if you were like, yeah, I'll do videos every week.
Yeah, because now I got to do videos and I got to write articles.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, come on. It's too much work.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
We were talking before about this offseason, and I asked the question to you guys. We know that they're going to pay somebody to come in here, whether it's offense or defense or whatever position it's going to be. We know that they're going to draft a certain amount of guys. But there are members of this team that they're going to have to hold on to that, you know, maybe they don't necessarily want to, but because they need a live body and they can't afford...
A live body.
Right, and they can't afford to just, like, you know, throw money all over the place. How much of the NFL offseason is determining just how much you can get away with? Like, Pete Carroll... God bless him, talks about how smart Joey Hunt is. And I myself even talked about how Joey Hunt was one of the nice surprises of the season. But do you really want to go through an entire season with him at center? Like, do you really want to say, all right, I think we can get away with that. I think we can get away with George Fant at tight end. I think we can get away with Tedrick Thompson as depth. I mean, is that really where you want to be?
On the offensive line, no. But the interesting part is that's traditionally where they have gone to try and hide pieces or to try and get away with certain pieces. And that has been reflective of the type of protection that Russell has had during his career. And the one interesting part about that is Russell has been able to succeed despite that. And it's because he's a tremendous eraser. He erases a ton of mistakes and is able to be elusive and be able to move around in the pocket and outside the pocket.
That's a good name for him, the eraser.
The eraser.
That used to be my nickname.
They call her the eraser.
Stacer Eraser.
Stacer the Eraser.
Oh, man.
It was.
That works
did you love
for you.
That?
Well, no. No.
No?
You didn't?
No, I didn't.
But, oh, it's good.
Not
it
bad.
It was Stacer Eraser, and then my sister used to call me Crybaby Stacy.
Oh, well.
No, I don't like that one.
Yeah, we don't like that one. Hey, we're going down a dark path.
Sorry.
I think for the offensive line, it's interesting right now because what you have right now is Dwayne Brown at left tackle. Left guard, you don't know what it's going to be because Mike Iupati was that player. At center, you've got an injured Justin Britt who is a major cap hit and could be a cap casualty. You have behind him Joey Hunt. Ethan Posick is
smart
another
player.
Guy that they have.
Smart player.
Right guard, they have DJ Fluker right now, and bless his soul, I love DJ Fluker, and I love a lot of things that he brought to the table. But when you talk about, you know, surrounding Russell with the best and getting younger, getting healthier. DJ Fluker right now, he can move bodies, but he can't get to the second level, which was troublesome for their running game at times because it's a big old dude moving around. He just can't quite get to the second level on those linebackers in the combination blocks. And at right tackle, they don't have a solution right now outside of potentially trying to bring back Fant. Or moving Jamarco Jones there, which I don't feel comfortable him playing tackle. Him or Phil Haynes playing a guard spot.
Let's say we're going to spend big money on a pass rusher, right? That's just going to happen. If we're going to spend big money on one position on the offensive line, which one is it going to be? And you have to take – I mean, obviously it's not going to be left tackle because you're already set there. But if you think that Justin Britt – together with his injury, and he is a cap casualty. I mean, to me, I think it's got to be center, doesn't it? Unless you're drafting your next guy, and you're sort of mixing and matching between that guy and Joey Hunt.
Yeah, to me, if I'm going to piecemeal this offensive line together with the restrictions that you just set, I would go out and I would try and draft a right tackle, and I would go and try and sign a left guard and allow Jamarco Jones and Phil Haynes to compete at the right guard spot. And then let Joey Hunt and Ethan Posick compete at the center spot.
I thought Jamarco Jones was more of a left guard.
He played both. He played right guard, filling in for DJ Fluker, and then he played left guard, filling in for Mike Iupati at different points of the season. So he can do both. He can play both.
Is that where they get the name, the deodorant from, right guard?
No, but it should be. It should be right there. Whoever the right guard is.
Those are hard-hitting questions, Tom. Yeah. I like that. Hey, three questions
well,
for Tom.
Well, and the best
Wassel.
Part is that Tom also does kind of like some choreography with it. A little bit of charades.
Yeah, a little.
Just
like,
in case we didn't know you were talking about deodorant, you mimed putting deodorant on.
How is
where
right guard?
Where else would you get that
How are they missing this opportunity? How are they not getting the best right guard in the game every single year?
Yeah.
And having him
endorse
be a,
right guard.
An endorser. Yes.
I mean, get DJ Fluker. If they're not going to sign him, he can do endorsements for right guard.
He'd be great at endorsements.
Howdy, you like that question back there? I saw you rolling your eyes.
Yeah, Howdy's impressed. He thinks you're a very thoughtful individual.
I am.
That's the interesting thing is if you're going to try and find spots, and defensive tackle is another one where you can try and go cheaper and try and get away with, you know, hiding guys at certain positions. I think that those are the two that you point to is offensive line. How many guys currently do you have that you feel confident you can get away with, as well as trying to add a little bit in defensive tackle? That's the part where they've got to do a great job in terms of their evaluation.
The reason why I was asking that, by the way, do you guys remember when we were doing our God, what the heck was it? We were doing maybe a trivia game or something with the 49ers. I was looking at their defense, and there were very few guys that, like, I hadn't heard of. You talk about hiding guys. I don't think they were hiding anybody on that defense, and that's got to be pretty rare. If you look team to team in the NFL, it's got to be pretty rare that on either side, mm-hmm. you're not hiding anyone. You've got, like—
On the defensive line?
No, defense.
Oh, defense,
total.
Yeah.
Like, where you've got a team where you've just got rock-solid talent at every single position.
Yeah.
The Seahawks, it feels like you're hiding a lot of guys. Maybe the goal here is just to minimize the amount of positions where you're hiding players, right?
Well, here's another guy that I'll throw at you in terms of hiding. I think Trey Flowers is one of those guys. I think Trey
Definitely.
Flowers is a guy that—
He's become one.
He has become one, and during last season, they tried to help him out in terms of coverage that they played at different points, and also moving forward, if you can— Why are we talking about pass rush? I think pass rush is a big part in terms of the secondary, because Trey Flowers in particular to me is a guy that will benefit, or you can hide him better if you have better pass rush. So you might be willing to say we're going to go year three and hope that Trey Flowers can make the same jump that Shaquille Griffin can do, and a better pass rush will hide him better.
I have a question before we get to sum it up. Jake, the text line wants to know where they can reach out to you if they have questions for your video segment for 710sports.com.
Well, we will be sending out a post on 710sports.com through our Twitter handle at 710ESPN Seattle, and then I also will be putting out posts fielding questions for what people have at JT Heaps 9 coming up soon.
I thought what Stacey meant was, like, what's your home address?
Yeah,
what's your P.O. box?
Where can they go to knock on your door and ask you football questions?
Well, no, I mean, I'm already seeing on the text line, someone said, how do we contact Jake for that? And from the 425, they already have a question. They want to learn how to identify telltale signs of what formations the defense is trying to do.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, we'll put that out there, and we'll see what everybody has. And then we will pick the best ones and put them out there on videos.
710sports.com.
What a great question. We sum it up next, 710 ESPN Seattle.
It's time to sum it up with Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Shot clock turned up.
The final word on everything that matters today in sports. Brought to you by Zone In CBD.
Step back!
Ah! Are you ready to sum it up, you guys?
Sum it up.
Welcome.
Let's do it.
It's time to sum it up. We had our free agent profile today of Jacob Hollister and Luke Wilson, which we ended up talking about for a while. We talked about some MLB potential playoff changes. We've talked about a lot today, but the thing I can't stop getting back to is our Astros conversation. And it wasn't something I was going to talk about before the show started, because that article that you referenced came out during the show.
Yeah.
I just can't get over that line about AJ Hinch feeling powerless and other players feeling powerless to stop the cheating from happening. I can't get over that, and I can't get over the fact that no one's apologized, even though I've now kind of accepted that there is some kind of gag order in place, or some kind of, not a legal one, but some kind of thing where they're told to not say anything, and they'll issue a public and kind of a PR kind of apology. I just am so disappointed by the lack of accountability.
Are you surprised that AJ Hinch lost control of his clubhouse, or that once he lost control, he couldn't reassert control?
I am surprised. Yes, surprised that he lost control, but I am surprised to hear that a manager felt like he was powerless to stop a veteran player and bench coach from running a cheating scandal.
Well, you know what? Like you said, if they felt like they had their blessing from above,
right,
from maybe the GM or something like that. And by the way, there is a code in baseball, as this article references, veterans rule, right? Everything is, veterans in a clubhouse mean something. They have authority. Sometimes even more so than the manager, because the manager's not playing with them every day. The veteran players are. Somebody like Carlos Beltran.
Yeah, carries who's a lot
not
of
only,
weight.
Yeah, who's not only a veteran, he's a borderline Hall of Fame player who's mm-hmm. played with that organization once already. If he comes in and tells you to do something and you're a younger player, you're probably going to do it regardless of what the manager says. It's like, oh, who cares about the old man in the office? Beltran just told me to go bang a trash can.
And that's very like conspiracy theory of me to say. I don't know the extent of GM Jeff Luhnow's involvement in it, but it's just, I guess, disappointing for me to hear that AJ Hinch felt powerless, even though I can understand the context and I understand the weight and power that very well-respected players carry. I just am, it's disheartening to hear that kind of excuse. And I like AJ Hinch a lot. I felt sad for him when he was fired and suspended, but I think that's disappointing to hear because I'm not saying that a baseball clubhouse is different. I actually think it's quite similar in this way, but being in football locker rooms, there's so much accountability, and accountability is one of those tenets that's just preached throughout football. I mean, and Jake can speak to this, growing up playing football, like there are core values that you're taught in sports, like teamwork and good sportsmanship, and accountability is one of those things.
Without question. But there's also, I think it's very telling that the response that those players have had, if there's no accountability by any of them, there's actually defiance. Mm-hmm. That tells me that that organization is actually encouraging that. And
yeah,
within that building, they are actually saying, you know what, everybody's going to hate on us, and mm-hmm. it's going to be us against the world. And they're going to diminish everything we did. And so, therefore, we are going to go out and we are going to be defiant to that narrative instead of being remorseful and being understanding and saying, you know what, we did wrong. Instead of saying, you know what, we were doing what everybody else was doing anyways. We just did it better than them. And I feel like that is exactly how their approach has been. That's what their actions and their words have shown me so far.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was some kind of higher up that said, hey, we aren't talking yet. Please don't mention this when you're being interviewed. We will issue our apology at the appropriate time. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if that was something they were told, but it's just disappointing. I'm disappointed to see this happen in sports and the way it's handled. It's very upsetting.
I wonder if I were like Jose Altuve or Alex Bregman or one of those guys today, how would I feel about our World Series championship that we, you know, earned 3 years ago? How would I feel about that today? Would I feel that we actually won it? Or would I feel that, you know what, we cheated, that's not legit?
Based off of their answers, I think that they felt like they were very deserving of that. I don't think, you know, again, I could be completely wrong, but the way that Bregman, Altuve, and those guys sat in front of the media and fielded those questions, I get more of the sense that they did. They feel like they maybe went a little bit over the line, but it's not to the magnitude of which everybody's making it out to be.
Yeah, but I'm talking about when the lights are out and they're
right,
laying in their bed at night replaying this in their head, thinking, you know, I told the media that I didn't think it was that bad, but you know what? I think it was really bad.
I mean, there's probably a feeling that we were good enough, and this is what I think frustrates so many people about it too. You were good enough to win a World Series without it. So it makes
Maybe.
It harder to separate how much the cheating helped you. And I think it makes it easier for people to justify it when they say, well, we were really good. You know, I mean, I could hit however many home runs. Yeah, I took steroids, but I was a really good player too. And it becomes easier for people to justify
it. Then why'd you do it?
Because you feel like it's, again, that extra little something to get you over the hump to ensure that you're going to win this game.
We did winning, this for insurance winning, purposes?
Yeah, winning at all costs.
Oh,
Jake, what's your sum it up?
For me, I come back to, no, not total, not fake news. Pete Carroll doesn't like total cereal.
Yes, he does.
Okay, no, he does not.
Total.
He has more
taste. It's like a plant-based term.
He has more taste buds than that, at least I would hope. For me, it's Jacob Hollister. I look at Jacob Hollister, and I think there's been some conspiracies about him and in terms of where he is and his tender and possibly being a trade piece for the Seahawks. And I just really hope that they don't go down that route, that they're able to have Will Dissly healthy. They're able to bring in another guy that can really be a dual threat type of player in the run game and in the passing game. But Jacob Hollister is a dynamic weapon that, if used right, can be a difference maker in this offense. He's already got the trust of his quarterback. He's got the trust of everybody around him. I really hope that he ends up staying with this team.
You know how much confidence Pete Carroll has in Jacob Hollister?
Don't you do it.
Total confidence.
Gosh.
Tom.
And he likes total cereal.
Don't.
He went there.
I went there, man.
All right.
Okay.
I went there. Maybe I'll go there tomorrow. We'll see. Tom, Jake, and Stacy, 710 ESPN Seattle. Dunkaroos, Dunkaroos. You don't just eat your Dunkaroos.